After wishing everyone a Chag Sameach, Hanukkah Sameach. I'm not sure if it's a Chag, but certainly we could say Hanukkah Sameach. Here, I have one already stapled for you here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, then. So those you could. Okay. So then put those together. So, you know that. Okay, great. With the staple. Okay, fine. What we want to study tonight is, of course, Hanukkah. But specifically about the nature of the miracle of Hanukkah. We're going to try to categorize miracles, Nisim. There are some Nisim that are different than others. And tonight, specifically, we want to compare and contrast Purim to Hanukkah. And our main focus is going to be on the Lashon, the Nusach of Ala Nisim. And if you take a look at the beginning of your page, you'll notice that the Ala Nisim for Hanukkah is quite extensive, and it emphasizes the human element in the battle against Yavan, and opens with Bimei Matisyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So obviously the Kohanim, and of course Matisyo at the lead, at the head of the pack, the Kohanim as a Kohen Gadol, they had to face a challenge, and they had to make a decision as to whether or not they would go out to battle. It required a great deal of faith and reliance on Hashem. And this was their decision to go out to battle. And this is dated in a historical framework. So we're talking about the period of Yavan. There were four periods of Galut, and this is the third of the fourth. This is called Malchus Yavan. And they stood up against the Jewish people on a spiritual level, like Lashkicham Torasecha, Lavira Michukei Ritzonecha. So they wanted to exclude, they wanted to, in a sense, alienate the Jewish people from Torah, disconnect them from Torah, and to compel them to violate the will of God, to violate the Torah. This is what we call Shmad. Shmad is when it, you know, you have an anti-Semitic or persecution against the religion of Israel. And now we get to the part that we want to emphasize. V'ata b'rachamecha rabim, and you with a great element of compassion. I guess it would require, in that context, you know, considering the small number of Jews against the massive number of Greeks, you would need a great deal of rachamim. You know, the compassion of Hashem would have to be enormous. And now we say the following: Amadato lehem b'eis sarasam. You have stood up for them at the time of their anguish, of their very precarious situation in which they were overwhelmed by the sheer power and the numbers of the Yavanim. Now this phrase, if you could emphasize, we're going to come back to this tonight, Amadatalem Beis Tzarasam, has no parallel in the case of Purim, which is the other half of the page that we don't have here on the page, but if you remember the Ala Nisim for Bimei Mordechai V'Esther, it doesn't have these words of Amadat Lehem V'Eis Tzarasam. There's some sort of emphasis here on the ace. Ace means that moment. Specifically that moment. I mean, you might ask the question, that's obvious. Why, when the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, the men of the Great Assembly, they formulated this prayer, they didn't have to mention that it's Eis Tzarasam. Obviously, if Hashem is coming to have salvation, to have protection, it's got to be at the time of that Tzara. When else could it be? So we want to see if we can delve deeply into the, shall we say, the hidden meaning below the surface of B'Eis Tzarasam. And then we go ahead and we thank Hashem for the battles that He fought for us, for the fact that He judged the enemies of Israel and implemented vengeance and nekama against them, and gave over the powerful armies of the Greeks into the hands of the weak, the manyfold into the hands of the small, and so forth and so on. And lecha sisa shame gadol v'kadosh b'olamecha. So as a result, your name was glorified in the world. It became a Shem Gadol, a great name, and a Kadosh, and a sanctified name. Uliamcha Yisrael Asisa Tshua Gidola Ufurkan. And here we want to emphasize the next two words, Kehayom Hazeh. As if to say that again, we're, just like before, we emphasize the Eis Tzaras of the moment of their challenge. So also, the Tshua, the great salvation, was Kehayom Hazeh. If we have time later on, but I don't want to get distracted, we could talk about the word Purkan, which is a very interesting word here, because that word is in Aramaic. It's the only word here in this whole prayer that's not in Lashon Kodesh, in the Holy Hebrew tongue. But in any event, again, we have the Eis Tzarasim and the Av Kayom Hazeh on this day. And then we finish up by saying that in the wake of the victory of the Bnei Achashmonaim against the Greeks, they went in and now they had the job of cleaning up and purifying the house, meaning the house of God, to be metayer everything, because everything became tameh, and they lit the candles bechatzos kodeshecha. Okay.
As you mentioned last week, sorry, not only that when we celebrate the eight nevot is only mentioned in this prayer, so by the way, it's not even mentioned fully.
Right, that you remember. Excellent. Okay. That we tried to emphasize before, because we were speaking, if you recall, about the concept of miracle that's really, in a sense, only a vehicle to teach us and to train us to look at all of nature as a miracle. And therefore, the fact that the candle lit for 7 extra days, that's not a big deal. The big deal is that it lit for the first day, you know, because that's nature, and we have to appreciate that God gave the rules of nature. Fine. That was last week, and I'm glad you reminded me. Tonight, we want to study the insights of Rav Shlomo Kluge. He lived about 100 plus years ago, let's say 125 years ago. And he authored a commentary on the Siddur called the Arios Shlomo. His name was Rav Shlomo. And what we want to do tonight is first learn what he has to say, and then see if we can build upon it. And I honestly believe that this insight of Rav Shlomo Kluge is absolutely brilliant. You know, his last name Kluger in Yiddish means brilliant. So he was Kishmo Kenu, he was brilliant. And he wants to understand this emphasis here on Be'es Tzarasam. V'yatav rachmecha rabim, omantolehem Be'es Tzarasam. And again, Liamcha Yisrael, at the end of this Alanisim, Asisa Tshuva Gedola Furkan Kehayom Hazeh. Again, the emphasis on today. V'nira, and it appears that we have to levayer kavanos, and we have to explain what they're meaning. Bilshonim Hazov, in their golden language, Mizukokim Kishv. Shivasayim has been cleansed and purified over and over and over again. There must be some justification for their adding these elements of Be'es Tzarasam and Kayom Hazeh into this prayer. So in order to analyze this, the Arios Shlomo quotes two Gemaras. One is a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, and the other is a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Chof Tes. In the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara looks for some sort of an allusion in the Torah to Haman, to Esther, to Mordechai. And this is not something that we're going to find in Chanukah, which is going to bother the mind of Rav Shlomo Kluge. With regard to Purim, and a lot of what we want to speak about tonight is the contrast between Purim and Chanukah. With regard to Purim, we find that all the main personalities in the miracle of Purim are hinted at in the Torah. For example, Haman min haTorah, where do you find a hint to Haman? It says, Hamina Eitz, in the case of where's the Pasuk min haEitz, if I'm not mistaken? It's referring to Eitz Hadas, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But if you see Haminites, if you take the change the vowels, it becomes Haman. Esther minator minayin vanochi aster aster esponai. And Mordechai minator minayin mordror. So we have in all three cases a basis in the Torah itself for these personalities. That connects the entire story of Esther back to the Torah itself. So Rav Shlomo Kluge, number 4 on your page, is bothered by the fact, Lama lo sha'alu, why didn't the Gemara ask the same question, Chanukah min HaTorah b'nai? Let's find some sort of rebbes to the Chashmonaim, to Matisyo. Nothing. What happened over here? Why is it that in the case of Purim, the Gemara is compelled to find a source in the Torah itself for Purim, and yet in the case of Chanukah, we don't find anything parallel? But his second question is even more, shall I say, pressing. Because here we have a Gemara in Yuma. The name of this perek is called Amar Lehem Hamemuna, and a statement from Rav Asi that is an absolute plea. It's a total confusion. We a very ambiguous statement. Rav Asi says that Esther, in the pasuk in Tehillim, if I'm not mistaken, is Perikov Dalet in Tehillim, is compared to Shachar, Tayelet HaShachar, which is daybreak. That's even before, actually it's when the Amud HaShachar breaks out, that's even before daybreak. It's the end of the night. And in the pasuk, Esther is compared to the Shachar. So Rav Asi says that comparison is lo because to teach you ma shachar sof kol alayla. This break of the, you know, the morning star is at the end of the night. Is af Esther, she's also at the end of a period of time. What period of time is that? Kol anisim. Notice we have all the miracles that are the lights of Jewish history, different points in Jewish history, and now we get to the very end. And at the very end, we have Esther. So she's like the end of the night. So the Gemara right away pounces upon Rav Asi. How can you tell me that Esther is the last miracle? We know Vayikra Chanukah. Chanukah is the great last miracle. So how can you call Esther the last miracle? The Gemara answers, Nitno lichtov kamrinon. Which means that we're looking at the last miracle that's recorded in the Tanakh. And that's in Megillas Esther, the miracle of Esther. Chanukah is not recorded in Tanakh. So Chanukah is after Tanakh was already a sealed book. And the principle called Nitno Lichtov, meaning that we have the ability to add and write and formulate another book of the Tanakh, that ends at the time of Esther. She was the last one to sort of get in under the wire, and she was able to present the Megillas Esther and have it incorporated into Tanakh. That's called Nitna Lichtov.
So there was no allusion in Torah, and it's not written in Nach. That's what we have for these sources. The Chanukah.
So Chanukah is not alluded in Tanakh, and it's not in Tanakh at all. So at least Esther, what's in Tanakh, she's alluded to in the Torah itself. And Rav Shlomo Kluge wants to understand two things. First of all, he doesn't understand why Esther is called the end of the night. The night period is always the period of darkness, of despair, when the hand of God is concealed. It would be more appropriate to say that Esther, as a period of miracle, should appear with day and instead of being associated with night. But he's more confused by the fact that Chanukah is left out. And if you take a look at the last few words, again, the print is quite small, I don't know if you can see it, but he says, why is it that Chanukah, as opposed to Purim, is lo nitan likasev, but Purim is nitan likasev? Right? We don't know how to justify that. Let me just shut this off. Sorry. So he says the following. Now this question, which he asks as to why why Purim it lends itself to being written and incorporated into Tanakh as opposed to Hanukkah. This question, it reverberates throughout the Mefarshim, throughout the commentaries. It's not just Rav Shlomo Kluger who asks this question. There's a sefer called the Bino Le'itim, and that was already written before the period of Rav Shlomo Kluger. And he also asks the same question. If you take a look on the fourth line, he says, "V'hi gufa tikshi," and this question itself should be asked. Kevan daha veha nisi hatzolininu, since both Chanukah and Purim are miracles of salvation, manishtana zemizeh. Why is it that ha, in the case of Chanukah, lo nitan likasev, it cannot be incorporated into Tanakh? But ha, but the case of Purim is incorporated into Tanakh. I mean, both Purim and Chanukah are sof kol anisim. Those are the last, you know, national miracles that transpired on behalf of the Jewish people to save them. Why is it that Chanukah, that Purim on the one hand is still in, you know, it's still in the league and it still could be incorporated into Tanakh, and Chanukah somehow gets left out? Then we have the Chidah. His name was Azulai. He lived also about two centuries ago and change. And he wrote many, many different works. One of them is called the Dvar Machadim. And he says that he wants to understand the language of the Al HaNisim. And especially he wants to understand the Gemara in Yuma was regarding to Ayelas HaShachar, that why is Esther compared to the Shachar? And that is because Esther is the Sof Kol HaNisim, Ve'aika Chanukah, but Chanukah is the last of the miracles. Chanukah took place 200 years after Purim. And the answer is, Nitno Likasev. What I meant is the last miracle that's recorded in Tanakh. That's Purim. And Chanukah is not recorded in Tanakh. So he says, Higufakash, I don't understand why. Lama Chanukah lo nichtava. So this language that we saw in Rav Shlomo Kluger of Ha Gufakash, which we saw again in the Bina Le'itim, now appears in the Chidah. They're all, you know, prophesizing in the same language. Gufakash, what's the difference between Chanukah and Purim? You know, we're elevating Purim to a very high level, and we're saying that Purim is going to deserve to be recorded and incorporated into Tanakh, and Chanukah is left out. He says, "Af omnom nes Purim atzum v'rav." I'm not denying. He says that Purim is a great miracle, awesome miracle, but the miracle of Chanukah is also something that's famous in Jewish history, and it's a nes gadol v'nora. It's an unbelievable miracle. And he says, if you don't believe me, go read Megillas Antiochus, which records all the miracles of Chanukah. Yet that Megillah, as opposed to Megillas Esther, is not incorporated into Tanakh. So what's that all about?
He's even using the word Hekelu with Chanukah. It's really bothering. It's like he says, like, Chanukah steak, and why is he using that word Hekelu with Chanukah?
Hekelu, because what we find in terms of Megillah is that on Purim you have to read the Megillah, and it has to be written on parchment, and there's so many dinim because it was incorporated into Tanakh, and it has the status of Megillah. On Chanukah we're very lenient. We don't read any Megillah. We don't even have halacha of reading Megillas Antiochus, which records the miracles. Why is it so? I mean, the miracle of Chanukah is the last of the miracles, and it's a great, awesome miracle. Why was it left out? So the entire purpose of our study tonight is to establish the following paradox, that because of the greatness of Chanukah, it was left out. Okay, that's our goal for tonight. Right now, we're in the dark, because we're assuming, on the contrary, the premise is that if Chanukah is so great, and it's such an awesome miracle, God of Menorah, then it would have to be incorporated into Tanakh, it should be elevated into that level. But we're going to try to suggest the exact opposite is true. That because of Chanukah's special, unique greatness and his special role as a unique type of miracle, categorically, therefore it was left out of Tanakh. Now, in order to appreciate this, we're going to look at the Ben Ish Chai. He wrote a commentary on the Agadita in Shas. Here, in this case, we're looking at the Ben Yehoyada. That's the Ben Ish Chai on the Gemara in Yuma that we discussed. And he says that the Chidah had already asked this question in his book Dvarim Achadim, Hagufa Kasha Lavalo Nichtava Chanukah. Why wasn't Chanukah incorporated as a separate book in the Tanakh? Uma Hefresh Yesh Bein Zeh Lazeh. What's the difference between Purim and Chanukah? So the Ben Ish Chai says he doesn't think that the problem is a problem at all. He really believes that there's something about the Ness of Chanukah and its particular historical context that makes it, in a sense, on a lower level. Because Bizman Esther, he says, you can underline these words if you'd like, Hayu Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, he's saying that in the structure of divine revelation, you have something on top, that's called the Nevi'im, the prophets. They get a direct word, a prophecy they receive from God, that's transmitted from God. But a little bit below that, you have something called Ruach HaKodesh. Shem Shneim L'Nevi'im. They are secondary to Nevi'im, to the prophets. But yet, even though they don't have Nevuah, because usually when you write a book that's going to be incorporated to Tanakh, you've got to be a Navi. The exception is Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh in the case of Esther. They have this divine spirit that moves them, and the recording of the events of Purim, the miracles of Purim in the Megillas Esther, is an act of Ruach HaKodesh, meaning the influence to write exactly what's written in the Megillah, word for word, letter for letter, comes from on high. It comes from the divine being. And that makes it exactly the same as Nevi'im Uksuvim. Now, what's unique about Nevi'im Uksuvim? That since Nevi'im Uksuvim were formulated by the divine being, by God himself, therefore every word and every letter has significance and can be interpreted in many different ways. And all of these ways, which are called Pshat, Remez, Drush, and So, different methods that we apply, they're all emes, they're all true. Because once the writing is a writing of Ruach HaKodesh, which means it's the divine speech, it's God's word, then that word takes on a certain special status, it's sacred, and every letter and every meaning and every nuance you can derive from it. And that's what he calls Nitnu Mikros Shalah, the Mikros of Nevi'im Uksuvim, were given Lihidarish, for Drasha, that's to derive different points, become upon it in many different directions. And all this is because it was Beruach HaKodesh, and that's the formulation of all of Tanakh and Megill Sester as well. Aval, but in the historical period of Chanukah, not only was it after the end of Nevuah, there were no prophets, but on top, to boot, there was no Ruach HaKodesh. There were no Ba'alei Ruach HaKodesh around, who were even close to the Nevi'im. So the Nusach, the exact formula, and the story that's being told here, is being formulated without Ruach HaKodesh. It's a human writing, and therefore it doesn't have the status of Ruach HaKodesh. That which is written by Ruach HaKodesh, as we said before, is Nitna Lidrash. You can dash it in many different ways. That's not true in a human composition, human literature, which is not inspired by Ruach HaKodesh. There, it doesn't have that extra element of a mikra. A mikra means something from which you can derive and analyze every word and every letter and come to conclusions. And therefore, he says that what's missing in the case of Chanukah is the essential element to write another Megillah, another book in Tanakh. Namely, that the writing and the formulation of the words and the sentences should be inspired by Ruach HaKodesh. That they didn't have. And therefore, if you take a look at the last line, you might underline this. He says, Lo kivein bidvarim elu. In other words, whatever the Megillah is going to record about the miracles of Chanukah, it's not a ksiva that has anything more than mashma'ut achat. Meaning when a human being speaks, or when he writes literature, he has a definite meaning in mind. As opposed to the divine being, who can have multiple meanings in the same word, in the same verse. That's what Ruach HaKodesh allows in the case of Purim for the Megillah to be incorporated into Tanakh, because what is Tanakh? Tanakh is a book that's written by Hashem. Mm-hmm. And even if it takes the Navi to record it, but he's recording what he got from Hashem. And every word is part of a mikra of Kisei HaKodesh and has myriads of meanings on different levels. Not so in the case of Hanukkah. By then, there was no longer, not only was there no longer Nevuah, as we said before, there's not even Ruach HaKodesh. So the writings are not inspired by the divine being, and therefore the writings are simply human literature. But it's not Tanakh. Tanakh is much more than human literature. It's divine literature.
Who do we traditionally say again wrote down Megillat Esther? Ezra and Nehemiah?
I think so, yeah. Now the Ritva on the Gemara in Yuma wants to know what it means that there is one opinion, which is the next part of the Gemara in Yuma, we didn't see that part, that even Megillas Esther is lo nitna likasef. And he quotes the question in the name of Tosfos, how could there be such an opinion that Megillah is lo nitna likasef? After all the dinim reflect that it's part of Kisvei HaKodesh and it has sanctity to it. We need that it has to be written on parchment. It has to be written with dio, which is the halachic specifications of the kind of ink that you use. Also, when you read it, you have to read it from the Megillah itself, word for word. That's called Karal Pel Lo Yatzef. He reads it by heart because he remembers it from year to year. He memorized it. That's not a fulfillment. So you see that it is nitna likasev. So Tosfos answers, Ahi min rabbanan bi'alma. In other words, all these dinim that seem to elevate the Megillah to the status of Tanakh, those, according to this Maamar, at least, are only rabbinic laws. V'anachon, and the Ritva wants to give his take on this. The correct answer is that everybody agrees that nitna likasev likros ba v'lotzes yidei chova. Everybody agrees that you can write it down in order to read it and fulfill your obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah. Mani Yom Shalom nitna likasev, Mani Yom Shalom nitan likasev b'chlal kisvei HaKodesh le'inyin shekziva kdosha le'inyin l'tami es hayodayim. So for this we'd have to learn a lot of Masechta Taras, but the law is that if you take a what's called Kisvei HaKodesh, if you take a book of Tanakh that's written on parchment into your hands, then you have what's called Tumas Yadayim. And according to one man, the Omar, Megillas Esther is lo nitna likasev, which means, and now we can turn to page 2, that Hochi Komar, the Esther ain't a Metamis Yadayim. So this is a technical rule. Okay. Now I'm just going to close the door, if you don't mind, because you know the noise kind of distracts me. Okay. Now you should know that the Ramah in Hilchas Birkas Hamazon tells us that if you forgot Al Anisim on Chanukah or Purim, then it's not all lost. The ball game is not over. Because what you could do is you could add a special harachaman to the end of benching, and you could say, harachman uyasalonu nisim, God, please bring about miracles, kamosha asa, as you brought about biyomim ahem, as you did in the past. And this appears in the Ramban Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. He repeats himself in Tafresh Pei Beis. And he writes, Misha Shochach al Anisim Bibirkas Hamazon, Kishimagil Arachaman, Yoma Arachman, Yasalonu Nisim, Viniflos, Kishem, just as you did for our forefathers, Biyom Mehem Bizmana, Zebi Mematisyo. Now, this comment to the Ramah that you could add a Harachaman is going to generate a lot of literature. It's very problematic, and that's going to be the main topic of the rest of the Shia for today. One of the super commentaries on Shulchan Aruch is the Bechor Shar. He was the grandfather of the Shari Tshuva. Anyway, he writes in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin that we read before, kashali towards the end of that paragraph after he quotes the Ramah. Devadai muchach beperek haroeh. This is at the end of Masechta Brachos Daf Samach. It's absolutely crystal clear from the Gemara. The aimless palel sheyaselones. That even tefillah prayer, which we always say pray for anything, there is a limit. There is a boundary that you can't. You're not allowed to cross. What kind of tefillah is inappropriate? To ask God that He bring about a miracle. We don't. You know, nature is what is God's creation, and the laws of nature are holy, and that's the Shulchan Aruch, you know, the rules and regulations which God used and formulated to create the world, and we don't ask for God to change nature. And in the Shari Tshuva of his grandson, also in the same Simon Shin Pei Zayin, he quotes his grandfather, the Bechor Shar, and he says that he thinks he has an answer to his grandfather's question. That why is this harachman in which we pray for miracles permitted? He says, Afal gav, demuchach, it's clear from the Gemara in Brachos, Emlis Pal Shiasna Mikomakom, Kavan, hey, you should underline it, Kavan Shaomer, Yasalanu, if you take a meticulous look at the harachman that the Rabbah, it's lanu in the plural, Belashan Rabim, Shapir Dami. In other words, if I want to ask for a miracle for myself, then the Gemara in Bracha says that we're not allowed to do so. And for example, there's a nusach that people add after Nesias Kapayim. It's in a small print in the Siddur. I don't have the meaning of saying it, but if you have the meaning of saying it, you'll see there it says clearly that you shouldn't say Li Nisim. You shouldn't ask God to make a miracle for you, but rather Yasalanu Nisim. And I think we also have it in, if I'm not mistaken, on Rosh Chodesh benching. I don't have a sitter right in front of me. There's a sitter over here, if you don't mind.
But you can't ask for a miracle for yourself, but you can for all of Israel.
For all of Israel. So if you're asking for the benefit of the Jewish nation, right, then that you're allowed to do. And the Shari Tshuva doesn't explain why.
In other words, miracle, what does that mean?
In other words, if the situation is very dire, and it would seem that the only thing that you could hope for, the last hope in the world, is that God bring about a miracle and change nature. We don't pray for miracles. Comes along the Shari Tshuva, and he says, when the Gemara says in Brachos, Eilis Pal Anes, that's only Beloshen Yachid, when you're asking for yourself for a miracle. That we don't do. Because we don't expect God to change the holy laws of nature. But for the sake of Klal Yisrael, that we can do. And in fact, that's what we're doing in this Harachamon. If we forgot Al Anisim, we're asking Harachamon who Yaselonu Nisim.
But he answers on the Bechor Shor.
And this would be the answer to the Bechor Shor's question: how could the Ramah justify this Harachamon? It's against the rules of Tefillah as formulated by the Gemara of Brachos. The answer is the rules of Tefillah that restricts Tefillah and prohibits asking for a miracle. That's only on a Li level, on a personal level, singular. But if you're asking the plural on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that you're allowed to do. So now, we're going to get back to Rav Shlomo Kluge. And Rav Shlomo Kluge, the real Shlomo that we started with, is now going to build on everything that we said about miracles. And he says, it seems to me, some of it I'll read outside, you know, or highlight and translate. Some of it we'll read inside. V'nir Lomi says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a disdain for miracles, which break the laws of nature. Because God wants everything to work and operate within the natural cause and effect framework of nature, because God created nature and nature is holy. However, with regard to miracles, he says, there is some sort of a miracle which, even though down here on earth, Lamata, he calls it, it looks like a miracle, and it's above nature, it's supernatural, but Lamala, but often Shamayim, when God looks down from the heavens, Havirak B'derech HaTeva, he sees it as nature. We see it as a miracle, but God sees it as nature. But then there's another category, Yeshnes, the Gam Lamala, Havigam King Shalom Kiderech HaTeva. So again, there are two different miracles. One miracle is only the way we down here on earth as human beings perceive it as a miracle, and it violates the laws of nature. Up in Shemayim, however, that's considered natural. That's Derech HaTeva. But there are other miracles that even in Shemayim, from the perspective up in the divine spheres, it's a miracle. And that's what we have to understand why. You know, this reminds me of a six. You know, if you're up in Shemayim and you see a six, it could look like a nine, if you know what I'm saying. So we have two, I'm just giving a mashal, two different perspectives. He says, let me try to explain, he says. Chazal on the pasuk Vayoshav Hayom Le'esano. Okay, this is the Medrash Rab, which you'll see here on the left side, but don't lose the place in the Yiriyah Shlomo, keep your finger on the place. Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, Tnoim Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Hayom, that when God created the world, and He created the sea, in this case the Red Sea, He made a condition with them. He says, I'm creating you, but only on the condition that you will split way down in history when Klal Yisrael need that it be split. And then the Medrash goes on to say the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that this is not just a rule with regard to Kriyas Yamsuf, but any change in nature was already predetermined with a condition at the time of creation. And God created it, whatever that phenomenon in nature is, with the condition that that natural order would be broken at a certain particular moment of time.
And that can be for anything. So, that can just be for the sea. It can be for everything, right?
Well, what he's saying is that God created two things. He created nature, and He created at the time of creation
conditions.
Miracles that break the laws of nature, but they were built into the nature from the beginning.
And it could have been built into nature from the beginning for many areas of life, right? Not just Yom Suf.
Well, I'm not sure what example you have in mind, Dora, but let's take Yom Suf just as an example, then we'll be able to extrapolate to other cases. When you see the Red split, the sea split, the Red Sea split, right? To you it's a miracle. I mean, how could the water split? But God doesn't see it up there as a miracle. Why? Because He understood that was built into nature from the get-go. That was the condition that was made.
So, for example, when Sarah gave birth.
So that becomes a little more complicated. Why? Because all the cases that we're dealing with in this Medrash, that God created a condition with nature from the time of creation, they're all for the sake of Klal Yisrael. We're going to see Moshe Rabbeinu Elio and Yoshua. Yoshua is going to stop the sun from setting when he has to conquer. I don't remember if it was Yericho in one of the battles. And all these cases is a leader of Israel who is sanctifying the name of God and protecting and bringing about a salvation for Klal Yisrael. Those miracles look to us as miracles, but from the divine perspective, sitting on the throne of glory upstairs, it's not a miracle. And he writes, "B'chol ha'nisim sha'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Yisrael," any miracles that are brought about for the Jewish people as a whole, "Hisna mitchilaso." He made it tonight from the very beginning, Al-Kach, for this miracle to happen. Bishas Briyas Ha'olam, He already established that down the line in history, you should know you're going to have to split. Or, for example, you know, down in history, there's going to be a geula from Mitzrayim, or whatever miracles have to take place. So, Kova HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sheish Yismei HaMasa Kol HaNisim She'yunasim Li'Yisrael Kol Echad B'Mizmano Miuchad Lo. God already predetermined at the time of creation that the miracle is going to take place at a certain time when the people of Israel need that miracle. And therefore, Machil Yesh Bazelamala Bein Nes L'Derech HaTeva. He says there's no difference from the divine perspective between a miracle and nature, because when nature was created, it was created with this built-in condition. Okay, that's what he says over here. But then he says there's another kind of miracle, which is a miracle even from the divine perspective. In other words, there was never a t'nai, there was never a condition made with nature that such a miracle would happen. And that, he says, is a little bit of a problem. Why? Because in a certain sense he gives the mashal that the Eved says to his Rav, I mean, did you mess up over here? In other words, you know, you set up all the rules of the game and now you have to alter the rules. You know, if God had made a t'nai, had made a condition with creation, then there's no mistake over here. You know, so there's no fluke in the system that we have to change the system. That change was built in from the get-go into the natural creation. But when we get to a different kind of miracle, a miracle which is not only a miracle from our perspective, but even from the perspective of the divine being, that seems to imply some sort of a mistake in the system, that the system has to be changed, nature has to be altered, even though nature is God's rules and regulations, for the sake of creating this miracle. And he says the following. He says that if a person asks for his own personal miracle, that miracle would not be built into nature. Because again, which miracles are built into nature? The t'nai, that's the miracle for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, to save Klal Yisrael. But if I come forward as an individual and I ask for a miracle, basically I'm saying, God, I want you to change the laws of nature for my behalf. And admittedly, there's like a fluke in the system, that the natural system, the natural order that was created by God, is not working properly, so please change it. I'm questioning the greatness of God by saying, God, bring about a miracle.
What about all these people? You know, they have illnesses, and according to nature, they should be dead. But they live.
So I would assume that in those cases, their salvation is going to at least look like it's natural. In other words, the way it's going to appear on the face of it, it's going to be... But what we're talking about is something that's obvious to everyone walking on the street. That's a miracle. And not only that, it's a miracle even in the eyes of God, because it wasn't built into the system. It wasn't pre-programmed at the time of creation. And here, Reb Shlomo Klug in the second paragraph wants to say that that's the fundamental difference between Purim and Hanukkah. He wants to say that in case of Purim, this had to be built into nature from the get-go, that this whole miraculous set of events, you know, sequence of events would have to take place in order to defeat Haman. And why is that? And now we can begin to also address the question why the Gemara never tries to find a basis in the Torah itself for Hanukkah. There's a basis in the Torah, as we saw Esther ben HaTorah Minayin, for Purim. And the answer is that the miracle of Mordechai and Esther was already predetermined at the time of Sheshis Yimei Bracious. Or Oz at the time of creation, Nikba Es Hazm Oz Zman Lines, to the miracle of Purim. Now the blueprint for the creation of the world is the Torah. So we could expect to find a remez in the Torah for that miracle that's built into creation. Because again, where does creation come from? It comes from the Torah itself. The Torah becomes the blueprint for the creation. So that all the conditions that God set up with Bracious, with all the phenomenon in nature, that they should change at some point in time, all that has to be reflected in the Torah itself. But Hanukkah, he says, that's already a different kind of miracle. He calls it a Nes Chadash Mamish, a brand new miracle. It was never predetermined. It was never foretold at the time of creation. And why is that? Why was there never a t'nai made with creation that the Avanim would be defeated by the small army of the Israel? Why is it an Es Chadosh? And why wasn't it a part of the t'nai? And he says the following. Because, as opposed to the case of Haman, where he instituted a decree to destroy the physical beings of the Jewish people, to annihilate the Jewish people, here at that point, man has no freedom of choice. There's nothing man could do, nothing that the people of Israel could do to change that decree. They've got to rely on a miracle. And that miracle is already determined from the time of creation. But not so in the case of Hanukkah. In the case of Hanukkah, the gzeros of the Avonim, the decrees against the Jews, were nefashos, were against the soul of the Jewish people, the spirit, the religiosity, the spirituality. Laviram al dosam, that the Jews should violate their Torah, their law, the law of God. And now every Jew is faced with a challenge. What is he going to do? Is he going to continue and be dedicated and loyal to the Torah, to the Word and the mitzvah of God, even at the pain of death? That requires freedom of choice. That's not something that's compelled upon the people of Israel, where they're absolutely lost. That in Purim, the decree against the physical bodies of the Jewish people to be annihilated, we have no freedom of choice. That's going to happen. The Goyim, the Amalekim are going to take arms and kill us. We need a miracle of God, and that has to be built into nature. But in the case of Hanukkah, we could have really saved ourselves and just decided to bow down to their idols or to observe all their laws and not observe the laws of the Torah. So now we're granted freedom of choice. And God says, you know, what are you going to do with this freedom of choice? Are you going to live up to this great challenge and even at the, you know, endangering your life, sacrificing your life, you can be willing to be loyal to the Torah itself? Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't possibly predetermine excuse me, that there would be a miracle. He couldn't have built in the Tanai into Maisa Bracious that later down the line the people of Israel are going to be going out there putting their lives on the line, and therefore there has to be a miracle, because then that would deny the freedom of choice. The freedom of choice is based on the fact that really in truth we are putting our lives in danger. We have decided that we're willing to die al Kiddush Hashem rather than submit and succumb to the persecution of the nation of Yavon. Therefore, God now needs a brand new miracle. This is what we call a Nes Chadash. This makes Hanukkah very unique. It's a new miracle. And as such, it's not predicted. It's not built into the natural system. That would deny the freedom of choice. And he says, therefore, let's go back to our original question about the Nusach of Al HaNisim. Do you remember we saw two emphases on the Ace? Amadata Lahem Bi Ace Sarasam. When did God stand up and bring about a miracle? Bi Ace Sarasam. He couldn't have done it at the time of creation like he did for Purim and all the other miracles, because then the Jewish people would have no freedom of choice. They are granted a choice to either submit and succumb to the Goyim and to the Avonim and therefore worship and violate the Torah, or no, to be willing to put their lives on the danger. If there would have been a miracle built in from the first, then we've already predetermined and predicted that they're going to be willing to put their lives on the line, Al Kiddush Hashem, with Mesiris Nefesh, and therefore the miracle is there to save them. No, that couldn't be, because then they would be denied, robbed of freedom of choice, and now we needed a Nes Chadash. That's called a Amadat Olahem Bi Ace Sarasam.
When they made the choice, he intervened with a Nes.
At that time. Mm. That was the Ace Sarah when they decided to put their lives on the line.
And that can happen all the time.
And that could happen in any moment in history, that if the Jewish people will decide we're willing to fight the battles and put our lives in danger rather than succumb to persecution and to submit to their shmad, then God can decide to bring about a miracle, and that miracle will be a Nes Chadosh.
Sorry, and, I have to go.
Yeah, go ahead. You told me already that you have to leave early. But we still have a few more minutes, so maybe we'll be able to finish this up. So he says again, the challenge of Hanukkah is Bechira Sa'anam. The Atav Rachmecha Rab Matalim Be'e Sarasam. At that moment, you stood up and you did a great miracle. Uli Amcha Yisrael Asisa Chua Gedola Furkan Kehayom Azeh. Meaning, this is a new miracle. Now, It's not an old miracle that's just waiting for its moment to go into fruition. It's a brand new miracle, Kayom Hazeh. And this makes Hanukkah very unique. It's different than all the other Nisan that came before it. Okay, now we can begin to understand what the Bach says in number 17, that why is it that in the case of Purim, we have celebrations, we have a Mishteh, we have a Simcha, we have a Suda, and on Hanukkah, there's no Mishteh, there's no Hupla, there's no special meals. He says, because in Purim, the decree of Haman was on the physical bodies of Klal Yisrael. And what was the reason that brought about this decree of Haman? Where were we deficient as a people? Where were we fall short? Shenenu misudasa shalosu rosha. And therefore, because we had an illegal benefit and pleasure from that Sa'uda, therefore we suffered that gzera, that decree, that our physicalities would be destroyed, our gufos would be destroyed, because we physically and illegitimately derived pleasure. So when we did tshuva, and now we're looking on page 3, then the tshuva is going to be just the opposite of the physical pleasures of joining in the Sa'uda. Esther is going to declare, Knosis kol Yehudim lo tochlu lo tushtu, for 3 days don't eat and don't drink. And therefore, the essence of the holiday of Purim is going to be a Sa'uda, to show and demonstrate that we finally did tshuva, we rectified that Sa'uda that caused us all the problems. Now we're going to eat the Sa'uda l'shem shamayim, not because of being mena from the Sa'uda of the Rosh. But in Chanukah, the gzera is not on the bodies. The Iker gzera is on the soul of the Jewish people. Hisrashlu b'avoda, they weren't careful about the service of Hashem, they weren't meticulous about the bringing of the karbonos, and therefore the Russia who came from Yavon was mevatel the karbon tamid, and we came forward and we said there was one mitzvah in the avoda that we were very careful about, and that's the mitzvah of the menorah, and we kept the menorah going as long as we could tamid. Now comes the tshuva process, in which Klal Yisrael, in the form of the Kohanim, are willing to give up their lives for the sake of the avoda and rectify their sin. But once again, it becomes crystal clear that there's a fundamental difference between Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah, where our bodies are attacked. The decree is for annihilation. We need a miracle. But in the case of Chanukah, where they're attacking our spirituality, our religiosity, therefore we have to be granted a Bechira Chofshes, freedom of choice, and see what we do with it. Now, we want to see the insights of one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood Yeshiva. His name is Rav Olshin, in his Sefer called Yerech Lemoad. And he wants to suggest that from this Rav Shlomo Kluger that we learned, a phenomenal insight, an amazing insight into Chanukah, that Chanukah is different from all the other miracles that befell the Jewish people. It's a Nes Chadosh. It was not part of the original Tanai. And it's a Chidush. It's a Shinui Miseder HaTeva Legamri, even from Hashem's perspective. Therefore, on this miracle, we say Kayom Hazeh in the Alei Nisan. This is the miracle of the day. And if that be the case, we now have an answer, perhaps, to the question of the Bechor Shor. And he wanted to know, how could it be that the Harachamon, in a case where you left out Alei Nisan, we pray for a miracle? The answer, we pray Sheyasa Lanu Nisim, in the plural. And when we're playing for a miracle, not on behalf of ourselves as individuals, but on behalf of Klal Yisrael to save us, then what we're asking is not to change nature, but to bring about those miracles that were preconditioned and pre-programmed into nature, to save Klal Yisrael. Now's the time, we ask Hashem. Just like at the time of Chanukah and Purim, you brought about miracles, now we need a miracle. Which miracle? We can't ask for a miracle to change nature, Nes Chadash, but what we can ask for is those miracles that were embedded in the very fabric of nature from the time of creation. And on that we're allowed to be mispal. Therefore we say, HaRachman Yaseh Lanu Nisim. Please bring about miracles, and these are the miracles of the Madrega of Seder Breishis, that are part of the very fabric of Breishis. And
but there's something I saw that says that when the Hanukkah candles are burning, that you should ask for miracles for yourself.
Ask for miracles for yourself. I don't know. I can't deal with that.
I saw that tonight, so I'm not a little.
Okay, so I don't know. I have to see it. But let me again just read what he's saying here. He's saying the following. He's saying, "Kaimel and Amos Palam Maisid Nisim Ze Eino Ella Al Nisim Shetzrichim Liyoseis B'Toch Hanhogas HaTeva." Al nisim keilu ein lispal bishum shein tzrichim lehisyashev lebasov im seder ateva shidbia kodesh baruch hu bebria. Avol tefil zu sheyaslan nisim uflaos shem shasim v'yom ba'azman hazeh hei nisim adrega acheres legamre sheheim lemala miseder abria mikoch ma'aseihem shel Yisrael nisim eilehem v'bchinas nisim kayom hazeh. V'einam tzrichim lehisyashev im seder abriyah v'ateva klal anisim alolu nasim v'kof mesirus nefesh al klal yisro v'shapir roi l'spal aleihim. Ah, so I guess this would be an answer to your question, Ora, here at the end of number 19. That what we're asking for in for miracles like the miracles of Hanukkah means that God, I don't have to ask you to see if nature, you know, if nature was programmed in such a way. I'm asking for Mesiris Nefesh, in the merit of Mesiris Nefesh. And again, I think it's...
What is Mesiris Nefesh?
Meaning the fact that we are willing to to dedicate ourselves with tremendous loyalty to God and the devotion that even if it means sacrificing our lives, for that we ask you, Hashem, like you did at the time of Hanukkah, to bring about a new miracle. We can't ask for the old miracles because those have to be built into nature and
miracle for ourselves.
For ourselves, meaning for all of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of our Mesiris Nefesh. That's what I think he's saying. Again, I'm adding a little bit. But let's take a look at number 20, the Or Gedalyo. And if you have to leave, please leave. You know, I'm just going to go a little bit over time, sorry, because I wanted to get to number 22. But in number 20, this is Rav Gedalia Shar, and he says that we have a rule, and we mentioned it earlier, that Estakel Baraisa Bar Alma, that the Torah itself is the blueprint for creation. And anything that you see in creation is in the Torah itself. That's where the blueprint is. So therefore, if you see in creation miracles, then it must be because those miracles are written in the Torah itself. Because all the miracles are part of the Bria, of the creation, and the creation is just a reflection of an implementation of that mirror image that's in the Torah. And therefore, the miracles that happen throughout Jewish history are not just haphazard miracles. They're actually built into the fabric and the fiber of nature, and therefore they're in the Torah. They've got to be in the Torah, because anything in nature is in the Torah itself. And he says that, you'll ask me a question from Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, and there were other greats that the Tanoim that brought about miracles, and those seem to be outside the Seder HaNisim. And he says that's based on a principle called Yesh Koach Biad Chachamim Lakar Dov Min HaTorah. Okay, this requires a whole other discussion which we don't have time for, but suffice it to say that on the highest echelon of Chachamim, of scholars, they could actually, if need be, change the laws of the Torah. That's called Yesh Koach Biad Chachamim Lakar Dov Min HaTorah. And if that be the case, they're creating something that's not in the Torah, because again, it vitiates the laws of the Torah, Yesh Koach Biad Chachamim Lakar Dov Min HaTorah. And therefore, you would not find anything in the Bria that would reflect the blueprint, meaning the Torah, because we're talking about something that's outside of the Torah. And therefore, those individuals who brought about miracles, and those miracles were not built into the Bria, they were, in a sense, exercising their super authority of Lakar Dov Min HaTorah, that they could create some sort of a miracle that's outside of the Bria, and therefore outside of the Torah. And now we're ready in number 21 to answer our original question, why is it that the story of Purim is incorporated into Tanakh, and yet Hanukkah is not in Tanakh? And that was the question of Reb Shlomo Kluger and many of the others. And some want to say that the reason for that is because Hanukkah, they didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, so they couldn't write a book of Tanakh. But he's saying something different. He says that based on the Or Gedalia, that all miracles are in the Torah because it's Takel Boraisa Ubora Alma, that only applies to the miracles that are built into the Bria, to the fabric of creation, where the Torah was the blueprint for creation. But if there were new Nisim, as Rav Shlomo Kluger said in the case of Hanukkah, new Ness, that is not built into the fabric of nature, therefore it's not incorporated into the Seder HaBriah, the sequence of creation, and therefore it's not going to be in the Torah itself. The Torah is a blueprint and a mirror image of creation, but now we're talking about something that goes beyond the laws of creation, the laws of nature, because this was a brand new miracle, Hanukkah, that was not predicted and preconditioned at the time of creation. So when we say that all the miracles are hinted at in the Torah, that's because all the miracles are part of the Seder HaBriah, they're part of the natural law of the universe, and it was a precondition in creation that would happen when necessary, and therefore we should be able to find some sort of an allusion to those miracles in the Torah itself. That's called the Stakel Maraisa Bar Alma, so far as the Torah is the blueprint for creation, and including these miracles that are part of creation, which we said are not miracles from the divine perspective, are miracles from our human perspective. Is therefore we understand why Hanukkah cannot be incorporated into the Torah, because Hanukkah represents a miracle that's outside of, that breaks the laws of nature, and it's not a condition that God put in to the original creation. It's a Nes Chadash, and therefore could not be included in the Torah. Had it been included in the Torah, then it would have to be part of the fabric of the Bria itself, and as we said before, that would undermine the freedom of choice. And now we begin to understand why the Gemara Chulin says Esther in Torah Minayin. Where do we find an allusion in the Torah to Esther? Because since Esther is a miracle that's built in to creation, because again, otherwise the Jews would have been annihilated, it was an attack against their physical beings, therefore there must be somewhere in the Torah we could find a hint and an allusion to this miracle of Esther. But when it comes to Hanukkah, we're not going to ask the question, Hanukkah min HaTorah Minayin, find some sort of a remez for Hanukkah, because that's impossible. Hanukkah is a miracle that is not built into creation. There was never a condition. It's a new miracle, and therefore it's not going to be reflected in the Torah itself. And therefore you can't say that Hanukkah min HaTorah Minayin, that we should find a remez to Hanukkah in the Torah. Can't be. And we'll end on number 22 with an insight of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar wants to know, why is it that when it comes to the world to come, we don't find anything in the Torah about the world to come? On the Pasuk V'Salachti V'Sochachem in Parshas B'Chukosai, Chazal say that that's a remez, that's an allusion to Olam Haba. So the Kli Yakar says, why isn't the world to come mentioned explicitly in the Torah? Why was it left for that? Some sort of a remez, you know, some sort of an illusion? And the answer is because it's Takel Boraisa Bar Alma, meaning that the structure and the framework and the blueprint for all of creation is in the Torah itself. And therefore, if something would be in the Torah, then it would be Goli V'Yodua, it would be something that we would be absolutely revealed and accessible, and it would have to be part of the Bria itself. But God has to leave out Olam Haba and conceal it from the Torah, because the whole unit of Olam Haba is not accessible, meaning God doesn't want it revealed, He wants it concealed. He doesn't want it to be part of the Bria, He wants it to be a whole new creation that's going to take place at the end of days, at the time of redemption, at the time of Mashiach. So I just want to summarize by saying that what we learned tonight is that paradoxically, Hanukkah is left out of Tanakh, but not because of the inferior status of Tanakh, not necessarily because there was no Ruach HaKodesh, that's also true, but rather because of Adarava, the unique status, the high status of Hanukkah, the miracle that is a result of the Mesirus Nefesh, but it's a new miracle, it's not built into the Bria, and if it's not built into the Bria, it can't be found in the blueprint for the Bria, namely the Torah itself, and therefore Hanukkah could not be incorporated in Tanakh. And I'll end with a tefillah that we should be zocher this Hanukkah to see that with the Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael, you see Jews that are so dedicated, they put their lives on the line, and they go all out for the sake of Torah, mitzvahs, of Klal Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael, everything together. And we ask Hashem to bring about these new miracles. And that's what we're going to ask for. And if we forget, heaven forbid, that you know, to recite Al Nisim and benching, we still have the Haracham on. And with that Haracham on, we end the Shia tonight, and we ask Hashem, Harachamanu yasa lanu nisim, kemo sha'asa biyamim ha'hem, bazman hazeh. Amen.